We thank you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing one more chorus this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing Worthy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Church, hallelujah. If you will be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, They Are Bread for Us. They are bread for us. We're going to be in Numbers chapter 14. If you'll turn in your Bibles there. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, I'll tell you what. How about some of those storms last night? That last one, what a woolly booger. It really came down, the thunder and the lightning. And we, I don't know if y'all had any here, but we had hell. And when it started pelting the windows and stuff, it was like, what is that cracking sound? And I looked out the window and this all pea-sized hail hit me umbrella. It was pretty good size hail out there. And so I called Matthew and had him come and look at it. I haven't seen hail, boy. Gee, and I don't know how many years. So it was pretty neat to see it, actually. And the sky was all lit up. So praise the Lord. Once you've found Numbers 14, if you'll stand in your feet, to your feet this morning. I love it when it storms like that. Brother, I always stand in the door and watch, and brother always says, you know, you're not supposed to stand in the door. And then I said, but oh, I just love to watch it. Now, if it cracks too close, then I'll close the door and get out of the door. But I do like to see it. Amen. How wonderful our God is. Numbers 14. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Actually, what I'd like to do is if you turn over to Numbers 13, and I'm going to read starting at verse 25 through verse 9 of Numbers 14. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whithersoever thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. fear them not. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning, church. You may be seated. Wow, what a passage of scripture. And the chapters before and after are just as powerful. And just as we are told through Paul in the New Testament that those things that are written in the Old Testament are for our admonition. Therefore, there is a great deal for us to learn as we study the Old Testament and see what it is that God would have us to glean from these accounts that he has seen fit by his Holy Spirit to keep recorded in the Word of God, just so that that might happen, that we might learn from them. Amen. And I'll tell you, we look at this and we are tempted to think how faithless the children of Israel were prone to be. Though exhorted to faithfulness and courage after seeing the many mighty miracles from God, even unto their own salvation from Pharaoh and his armies, deliverance from bondage so cruel and oppressive that most of us could not possibly imagine what it was like for them and the life that they lived. Yet at the first sign of any trouble or conflict or the enemy, they were ready to throw in the towel and call it quits. And beloved, let me say this, that at least we be tempted to criticize the Israelites. I exhort you this morning to just take a look at your own journey and the enemy you've faced. And you'll have to admit that you did not always face off the enemy with great courage and faith, yet you have the baptism. Most of you, anyhow. Yet you have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus and the blood. You've been set free. You've been recreated under this new dispensation in Christ. So we need to be careful that we learn what God would have us to learn, yet we would not criticize in a fashion that is not as it should be. And today, these last days before the Lord Jesus returns, I can tell you that deception abounds. And I can tell you that the enemy is working despair and discouragement like never before. Discouragement, I have dubbed the great debilitator, is the roaring lion roaming about looking for whom he may devour. In these last days, discouragement is the great debilitator. That thing is the roaring lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. We must be on guard this morning, church, for he certainly will take whoever he can if the child of God is not vigilant. Amen. I'd like you to stand, or excuse me. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to stand as far as thinking on what we have just said, standing on the truth of God's word and holding to that which we see is true in God's word, because the enemy will try to knock us off of that stance. And this is what I am trying to relay to us this morning, and the way that the enemy would do just that, and that our mindset makes all the difference in the world, as we see two mindsets here. So it is true in this life today, what we're looking at and what we can glean from this passage of scripture. Now, Israel was told by God that he was going to give them, in fact, that he was giving them a land flowing with milk and honey, Canaan land to be exact. And remember that we are spiritual Israel today, and that the promises that God gave to Israel, so too we can take those promises to Israel, to ourself, and stand upon them and have confidence doing so, because we know that that's the truth of God's word and why he would have us, why he would put this here, and why he would have us study it and glean from it. And as the scripture explicitly states, Israel was to possess the land, and to possess the land, they had to face opposition. That's right. The opposition that they had to face for them to possess the land, for them to possess the promise that God had given to them. For the children of Israel, as we look at this, was the current inhabitants of that land. And as we looked at this, and why I read as much of the scripture surrounding this as I did, was that we see that it says that some of the inhabitants were giants. There were giants in the land. So too, church, the Lord has given us promises. And ultimately, that one day, the end of the promise, that which we're all looking forward to, the hope of glory, that one day we shall live forever in heaven with Him. And all that we might endure, all that we go through, all the opposition that we face down, will be worth it all. Revelation 7:17 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And then again in Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. How powerful. That same chapter in verse 7, it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's a promise indeed, and one that we are striving to obtain to make our own. And I'll tell you, I must say, what a day that will be. Yet there are promises in this life, in this day, in this time that he has given us in which we live. Yes, there is the glory of the sweet by and by, and we're looking forward to that day, I hope, with joy and gladness and great anticipation. I hope we're not saying, don't come back yet, God, because I'm not ready. I hope that we're looking toward that day. The Bible says that he that has that hope in him maketh himself pure. So that we are certain that we are ready for the day when he comes back to catch us away. Amen. Yet there are promises for today. He's promised to give us guidance. He's promised to give us peace. He's promised to give us protection. He's promised to give us joy. He's promised to give us healing. He has promised to give us wisdom and courage and strength and help and victory and deliverance. Amen. He has promised to give us joy. Oh, and did I mention he's promised to give us joy? And oh yes, there's joy that he has promised to give us. Amen. Joy. Hallelujah. Overcoming sin, overcoming self, and overcoming the God of this world. And he has promised to give us rest in this life. Because when the word that is heard is mixed with faith, then we enter into the rest of the Lord. Hebrews. All these, and whatever other promises that is synonymous with who he is and what he will do according to his word that he has given to you, and to possess that promise, you have got to know. You have got to understand that as we go deeper in this life of faith, there are oppositions to possessing, and that there are giants in the land. Faint heart, I have said many times, never won the day. Never. And it has been well said, giants stand for great difficulties. And giants are stalking everywhere. They are in our families, in our churches, in our social life, in our own hearts, and we must overcome them if we are to possess the promise. The promises that I laid forth that are just a few that I felt the Spirit of the Lord put on my heart, but there are exact promises that God has spoken to each and every one of us. And we must understand that there are oppositions to receiving those promises because the devil does not want you to go forward in the Lord. And he sure doesn't want you to possess the land. He sure doesn't want you to make heaven your home. He doesn't want you victorious. He doesn't want you delivered. He doesn't want you to have a great love and an affection and steadfast faithfulness to your God. All that he puts against you is an attempt to deter you from obtaining the promise that you enter not into the fulfillment of that promise. And ultimately, in our lives, that we possess the land, that we make heaven our home. Now, as we look at this, there are two ways that we can deal with the truth that we see here in the scripture. Talking about giants in the land. That God has said, I've given to you a land flowing with milk and honey and great fruitfulness in that land. Remember that just before this that I read to you that they picked up a cluster of grapes that they had to put on a pole and carry it between two men. It was so huge. Great faithfulness in this place, but it was also a place where there was opposition. Great fruitfulness. Did I say faithfulness? Great fruitfulness in the land. So, as I said, there's two ways that we can deal with this. Number one, we can, with great courage, say as did Caleb, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Let me ask you this morning, is this your heart? This is faith. This is a picture of true faith. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able, not even able, we are well able to overcome it, to overcome whatever opposition comes our way so that we possess the promise. Is this your mindset today? Is this your heart today? That no matter what your eyes see, no matter what kind of traffic comes in your ears, no matter what your current experience might be at the moment, is that your heart? Is that what you believe? Let us go up at once, possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb, through Holy Spirit inspiration and the depth of his relationship with his God, said great words of faith. And there was more that he had to say that were equally as powerful. In chapter 14 of verse 9, of which I read. And when he said the next thing that he said concerning their ability to overcome the opposition, he was facing down opposition from those that were within. And in fact, verse 10 says that even though they were exhorted to faithfulness and to believe and to go forward with God, it says that the congregation wanted to stone them with stones. And this isn't the first time that they wanted to come against Moses and Joshua and Aaron. When things got a little rough, when things got a little tough, when there was a little conflict, when there was an enemy that was involved, when things weren't exactly as they wanted it to be, not only did they want to quit, but they wanted to kill the leaders. That's food for thought. See, I wonder how you're going to fault Moses. It's their fault. The pastors, they did it. Mm-hmm. Food for thought. What did Joshua say? Joshua said, words of faith, they are bread for us. speaking of the giants in the land, speaking of all the opposition that they had to face. They are bread for us. I wonder how many times that you and I have had a situation arise in our life, and albeit it was a giant, and we have faced down giants, that we thought, oh, hallelujah, this is bread for us. What did that really mean anyway? What does it mean, they're bread for us? In other words, what he was saying is that we are stronger for the overcoming of the giants or the opposition than if there had been no giants or opposition to overcome. We are stronger for it. In other words, we are fed spiritually and made stronger in overcoming had we never had to face that thing. They're bread for us. In this life, is this the way we see our opposition? In this life, is this the way that we see the giants that the enemy has raised up against us in our possessing the promise? And as I said, ultimately in our coming into the land and making heaven our home. Well, I got to say that I don't believe I've ever thought that. That when some giant was facing me, some opposition that was facing me, I might have had a thought, something that was equally as faith-filled, but never did I think, oh, this is bread for me and it's going to make me stronger by my facing it. I can recall one time where I was going through a difficulty physically. And I had torn the tendons that attached themselves to the sternum. And it felt like a big rubber band snapped, stretched and snapped. And I couldn't lean on my elbow and I couldn't do anything with my arms. And if I moved my arms a certain way, I couldn't breathe right. It really was quite uncomfortable and there was nothing you could do. It just had to heal. And as I was praying about it, the Lord began to speak to me, and I was very, very young in the Lord, not long after I had been born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he began to speak to me that as I would allow him to work in my life, that my garment, wherever it had been ripped or torn or wherever it had been soiled, that he would repair that rip or tear, that he would clean that soil, that wherever there was something in my life that yet needed to be straightened out, and there was plenty at that time, that God was going to take care of it. And I remember I responded to him, oh, hallelujah, thank God, he's cleaning me up. They're bread for us, is what in effect I said to him at that time. We like to glorify it, and that there's some great work that God's doing in us, and it has absolutely nothing to do with sin. But I'm telling you, his purposes in our life is always according to redemption. And he's always taking us to higher ground. He's always crucifying, getting rid of sin and self in our lives so that it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And this is always what he's working in us. They be bread for us. I'll say it again. We are stronger for the overcoming of them than if there had been no giants to overcome. Joshua's report was that this is an exceeding good land. Those who had no faith, who doubted God and his love and his care for them and his ability to do what he said he would do and take them to the place that he said that he would take them, they gave forth an evil report. What is your heart this morning? What is your mindset? Where are you walking? Where are you believing? Where are you living this morning? I know that the days have been hard. I know that there has been opposition and that there are in fact giants in the land. But I wonder if you've allowed these things to take your eyes off of the truth of who your God is, and that you have seen these things bigger and larger and greater than your God. Don't kick yourself in the teeth too much about it. It's what the enemy is trying to work. And the purpose of such a message is to get our eyes back onto the truth and back off the giant so that he is not larger or greater or bigger in our sight and in our mind than what they ought to be. We are grasshoppers in their sight. And in our own sight as well was the evil report. Well, who can overcome anything with that kind of a mindset? A bug to be squashed in the face of the opposition. They are bread for us. Wonder what was the difference, do you suppose? Why Joshua could have such a relationship or such faith and believe as strongly as he did in his God and what God said he would do and where he would take the children of Israel and from these others who brought forth an evil report. Wonder what the difference was. Well, God just gave him more faith. Phooey. The difference is that Joshua knew his God and he walked closely with him. That's what verses 8 and 9 testify to. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against him and don't fear the people, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. See, his confidence, beloved, and what God would do, and what God had said to him was born of intimacy with his God. It was born of the fact that he had spent much time in God's presence seeking the Lord on his own. He was Moses' faithful minister. He was Moses' right-hand man. Whatever Moses needed him to do, he was the go-to boy. He was getting the job done. When Moses said, gather up the people and go up against the Amalekites, Joshua said, by your command. He's got it done. He's on the mark. He's going for it. But not only that, he did not live off of Moses' relationship with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He didn't live off of Moses' relationship with God. Joshua himself cultivated a personal relationship with God as well. Exodus 33, verse 11, read it. Joshua and Moses were in the tabernacle. God had called Moses in. He was speaking to Moses. Then Moses went out to speak to the people. And what does it say? But Joshua tarried and stayed in the presence of the Lord. I have for 12 years at His Heart Tabernacle, and by the way, this month marks the 12th year anniversary. I have for 12 years been preaching in this church that you have got to cultivate your own relationship with the Lord, to be strong in the Lord, to have confidence, to be able to move the way that God would have you to move, and to get for yourself what God has for you because of your own relationship. And you cannot live off of and feed off of my relationship with God. You cannot. And the 10 are proof positive of it. Excuse me, the other 8 that gave the bad report. Caleb and his buddy gave a good report. Caleb and Joshua. A good report. Because there was an intimate relationship with God. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? 5 kept oil in their lamps and their wicks trimmed, and 5 did not. Because they were keeping their relationship with the Lord. And those that didn't have said, well, give us some of your oil. And they said, no, we can't. I can't give you of my relationship with God. You can't give to your son or your daughter. You can't give to your friend. You can't get anybody else in heaven but you. As far as right relationship with God is concerned. And Joshua's confidence was born from the fact that he had spent long hours in God's presence cultivating that relationship with his God. And his confidence was right on because he knew his God. And he did not fear, for love casteth out fear. Fear has torment. Fearing what the enemy will do. Fearing how the enemy will overcome. We are grasshoppers in their sight. So I tell you this morning that so your confidence will be born from a right relationship with God. As you cultivate your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, as you spend long hours before your God yourself in prayer and in the word, in worship and seeking him. Oh, I wish she would shut up. She prays and she prays and she prays. How can you think of all that stuff to say? And how come you don't wind down? Because I am used to being in his presence and praying and seeking God. My confidence is born of intimacy with my God. And though there be giants in the land, they are bread for us. I will ask one more time. What is your mindset? What is your heart? Now the second we see here, that the response was, we be not able to go up. Numbers 13:32, they are recorded as saying, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Not that we be made stronger for the what we are going to go through in our journey and the opposition that we face. They said, we saw giants. They didn't see the possibility. They didn't see the promise. They didn't see their God and how great he was, though he had already done all kind of miracles for them. Unbelievable. They still had the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, the visible presence of God and his manifestation. They still had God doing, because that didn't depart until they had actually crossed into the land. They still had so much that God was doing for them. And yet, this is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. What were they were saying? God's sending us in here to kill us. God is putting more on us than what we can bear. We can't deal with it. It's too much. It will destroy our lives rather than give us life. Joshua was that this gives us life. Theirs was, it'll take life. It'll destroy us. The difference between faith and unbelief. Faith will fill you with life. Unbelief will take life. We saw giants. Our children will be a prey for them. Better that we were staying in Egypt. Let's make a captain. Let's go back to Egypt. This is what the devil wants. When you get your eyes on what you are facing, on the opposition, on the giants, the devil wants you to do exactly what they did here. To throw up your arms in alarm, to weep and cry and question and doubt your God and his power and his love and his leading and his guidance. And say, I'm going back to the old life. I'm going back to the old way where I sat by the flesh pots in Egypt. All the leeks, all the onions. It was better for me in bondage, is what they said. This place will destroy us. It'll kill us. Eateth up the inhabitants thereof. for we saw giants in the land. A faithless pronouncement indeed. Beloved, the truth is that if we do not overcome the giants, they will eat us up. As these men of old said of the giants of Canaan, unless we have overcoming faith, we shall be eaten up and consumed by the giants in our path. It was said by one commentator, one devotional really, said that it was only as there was forward movement that Israel encountered giants. The quote was, when we are in the way of duty, it was when Israel was going forward that the giants appeared. When they turned back, they found none. I've said it again and again and again. The devil don't mess with you if you're not striving to go forward. The opposition arises when you're trying to move forward in the Lord. And the purpose of the opposition is to drive you back. It's to get you to take up the same mindset that those that gave the evil report had. That we can't do this. We can't overcome it. The inhabitants thereof will eat us up. There's giants in the land. It's too much. It's too hard. We can't take it. Not only will it take our lives, but our children's lives. Dear Lord. And that, beloved, is the break point. What is your mindset? How do you think on the thing? They be bread for us, or we are not able. They will eat us up. One says, we'll eat them up and be stronger, for the other says, they're going to eat us up and lose our life. And I'll say again that that is what the devil wants. To get you to see the giants larger than your God, to do as he said he would do. There is never indication. It is never an indication that God is with you if there is not opposition. He never ever said there wouldn't be affliction, that there wouldn't be opposition. Look at what Paul went through. Look at what other great men of the Bible went through before you began to weep and lament and whine and pine and talk about your circumstances in life. This can't be God. Well, I can understand where there could be some confusion today because of the garbage that's come from some pulpits for the last 50 years. We're suffering in affliction, are wiped out from their preaching. And the devil is compared to a toothless lion. Hebrews 12:15 says this. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. We must be very, very careful. He says, pay attention to what I'm telling you. Don't fail of the grace of God that is available to you. And in fact, it goes on to say that a root of bitterness will spring up if you do. And that many, defiling many. In fact, I'm going to read the entire verse. Hebrews 12, verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And you know, we've talked about this a lot, this particular passage of scripture. And when we talk about this root of bitterness springing up, I love the beginning of it. We don't often talk about the beginning of it. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, that a root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, bring great trouble and sorrow and woe and difficulty into your life because you refuse to accept the grace of God available to you to overcome. And it says that many are defiled thereby. And we've preached it, and rightly so, that this bitterness will spread through the church. It will. It'll touch everything you touch. It'll become defiled by that bitterness that you allow in your heart. Everything. But I believe it also says that many in the church are caught in that trap. Many defiled thereby. That many are caught in that trap. Why? Because it goes back to what Matthew talked about in the last days and how the enemy is working. That many become what? Offended with God. Oh, well, I have to be worried about offending God. How come he doesn't ever have to worry about offending me? Oh, my God. You are losing your mind. How can he, whose own purpose is to bring you through that you might possess the promise that he gave his only begotten son to pay the price for your sin, that he's given you the victory, that he's delivered you from Satan, and that again and again and again he has done marvelous things for you, and you're going to accuse him of offending you? But that's what the problem here was. They were offended in the way that God had led them. That they had to face anything else down. Hebrews 10, verses 38 and 39. I knew there was more I wanted to read, and I turned from it. He says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition. That's the end result of drawing back. Perdition. What does perdition mean? Hell. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't hear anybody over here say amen. Amen. Praise God. 1 John chapter 3 talks about our hearts condemning us. And it says, if our hearts condemn us not, then we ask of God and we know we have what we ask of him, because we do always that which he saith unto us. But if you don't obey him, if you don't honor him, then you're condemned in your heart and you don't believe you have what you ask of him. And this is what their problem was. They didn't have the right relationship with God. Joshua did. These didn't. What is your mindset this morning? What is your heart? What are you allowing the enemy to put in your mind? What are you thinking? The truth of God's word? Having the spirit of your mind washed with the washing of the water of the word, renewed by the word of God, renewed in the spirit of your mind with the washing of the water of the word is the way that it says in scripture? Are you allowing the enemy to put lies in your mind? We are not able to go up and overcome them. The inhabitants are such that they will eat you up. We saw giants in the land. Sons of Anak, sons of giants. Their defense will be taken from them, Joshua said. God delights in us. He is for us. Fear them not. The key to victory, I will say again, in this whole scenario, is what kind of a relationship you have with God. Whether you are walking intimately with him so that the enemy cannot move against your faith in God, or that you do not have that intimacy with him. Maybe at one time you did. Maybe once you were walking close with God. Or maybe you never really developed that the way that you should have. And then the enemy can come in and tear down your confidence because you are not intimate with your God. Well, I don't know if he'll do that for me. Or that you don't even know what he'll do because you don't know the God of the Word. What will it be? They be bread for us? Or it is a lamb that eateth up the inhabitants? One is born of faith, the great enabler. The other, from faithlessness, the great debilitator. Discouragement. Faith can only come as we spend time with our God, as did Joshua. You see, it's all a matter of relationship. And I said, well, it's a matter of the mindset, but the mindset is dependent upon the relationship. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Don't want to face a problem. Don't want to have to deal with your... I don't want that to happen. No, don't say that. I want to... Only want to hear good things, smooth things, easy things. Then you're a fair weather friend. And the Bible said a true friend was one who was willing to lay down their life. And are we willing to lay down our life for our God and for one another? Some years back, quite a few years back, as God was working with me and dealing with me, getting, as I said, self and sin and an attachment to the world and, you know, renewing my mind, and I'm being shaped and formed and fashioned into his image and Adam's likeness. He was erasing and taking care of. She was dealing with me. One day I was out in the front yard, and this huge, beautiful butterfly floats by. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, daughter, you are now that butterfly, free to serve me as I have called you to. And prior to that time, as I was weeping and striving and struggling before the Lord and praying and seeking God, that he had given me the picture of the metamorphosis that the larva goes through. The butterfly larva, before it becomes the butterfly, wrapped up in the chrysalis. And once it's formed, that's not the end of the story. The butterfly has to work its way through a very tiny opening in the chrysalis. And there's a great struggle that takes place. And when you watch this, you would think, oh, that poor butterfly, when the larva made the chrysalis, he made it too tight. And you think that in compassion to just cut a thread or two so that the butterfly could emerge. But to do so is to cause that butterfly to be earthbound, that it cannot soar and be free as God intended, because it's the struggle that makes the butterfly strong. You see, because when the butterfly pushes up through that very narrow opening up through the chrysalis, there are in the body all these fluids that as it's pressing and striving and struggling to get through the opening in the chrysalis, it forces those body fluids into the wings, which expand the wings, which once out through the chrysalis enable the butterfly to fly. Without that process, the butterfly has this huge engorged body and it cannot fly. So too, as we see here when God deals with us, that it's the struggle that makes us strong. It's the opposition that we face. It's the giants that we deal with. They are bread for us. We are stronger for the facing them down than had we never had to deal with that opposition. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Thank you, Jesus. I'll ask again, what will it be? They are bread for us. Or it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. What is your mindset? And as I said, the problem is whether or not we have spent time with God, if we are intimate with Him the way that we should be, so that our confidence is that they are bread for us. Is there a problem here? I want you to close your eyes, bow your head. Oh, man. This has blessed me, as His word always does. I begin to feel my spirit be infused with strength and life and light as He gives me a word, a message like this, or any word, any message that He gives me. So now I wonder this morning, as the light drives away the darkness and the truth of His word, because you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, that we are able to see what perhaps we could not see before. And you will acknowledge this morning that for too long and for too often you have declared that we be not able to overcome whatever giant, whatever opposition, whatever sin, whatever problem, whatever evil habit, that giant that you have been unable to slay. You slip up a hand this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. You would acknowledge as well this morning that, hey, I see the key. And the key is that the relationship with the Lord is nowhere near what it once was, or that it should be, or ever was. You slip up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. One or two or three or four of you need to slip up your hand to that question, because I know you're not where you should be, or where you once were and you're not now. Thank you. Dear Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See, because when our eyes are on the giant, we'll draw back. Oh, Lord, we so need to keep our eyes on our God, looking. Looking where? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, lest any man fail of the grace of God. We can plug that in there and do absolutely no violence to scripture whatsoever, but to enhance, to illuminate the truth of your word, Lord, with other scripture, which is what we've just done. Yes. Looking unto Jesus. You have been calling us to higher ground. You've been calling us to walk closer to you, that, Lord, in so doing, sin and self, the God of this world, compromising with this world, the love for the world, the love for these other things, whatever sin, whatever selfish ambition, whatever self promulgated attitude or way of speaking or thinking. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, for each and every one, as there is a true repentance. And you know the heart, Lord. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. Or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we know what's going on by what they say, how they speak. You can't know my heart. Yes, I do. Dear Jesus, forgive. So beautiful. You are so rightly speaking when you said, let me alone. I'll make a new nation of thee, Moses, because they wanted to stone Moses and Joshua, the leaders. And Moses interceded and begged for you to forgive them. And you did. How gracious you are. So forgive, Lord, I pray. Every murmur, every grumble, every complaint. Lord Jesus Christ, every foul, untrue thing that the heart has thought or the mouth has uttered against you, against your true servant. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would strengthen and renew. But it can't just happen that there's something from heaven is poured down and then there's no effort, that we don't sit before you, that we don't pray, that we don't read your word, that we don't build up that. Thou hast commended thy strength, Lord, towards us. Our response is, oh God, strengthen that which you have wrought. We need to allow you by doing that which we are to do, to cause us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might by seeking you. In prayer and in worship and in praise through your word. Yet you have promised you would not extinguish a dimly burning wick. A bruised reed you shall not break. That where we are, you know our heart. John the Beloved said that if our hearts condemn us, that you are greater than our hearts. For God knows all things. So we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will work within us. We will thank you and give you all the glory and the honor. And may we do what you have called us to do. For we know that you will surely do what you have said you would do. In Jesus' name. That as we go forward, Lord, what the enemy tries to make out to be some huge, unbelievable battle can be solved as simply as marching around the town 7 times. And with a great shout, the walls came down. Simply obedience. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. Seal this word to our heart. And may we go forward to possess the promise. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord.